Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We started last week in this brand new sermon series called Serving Like Jesus. This morning, I want to make a case for having a selfless attitude in a selfish world. Selfishness, self-centeredness is nothing new. And I want to begin by simply asking you a personal question because I think it's important for you to think about, and for me too. Here's the question. Are you a selfless or a selfish person? For many of us, an honest answer might be, well, sometimes I'm selfless and other times I'm selfish. Hopefully none of us would say that we are completely selfish, but few, if any of us, can say that we are completely selfless. So let me give you a word of caution as we begin. This is one of those character traits that is hard to evaluate in ourselves. It's often a blind spot for us. Hard to see ourselves clearly and accurately. Because listen, no selfish person ever thought himself or herself to be selfish. Now we might become very selfish and we may not even be aware of it. Someone has said this, some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed and permanently set. Well, how about you? Are you spiritually minded? Do you have the attitude of a servant? Or is your mind like concrete, all mixed up and permanently set in a worldly, selfish mind? Today, the focus will be on this fact. Ultimately, being a servant requires a mental shift, a change in our attitudes. I like what Chuck Swindoll writes in his old book called Come Before Winter. He makes the important point that all of us are products of our thoughts. Here's what he writes, and I quote, "My body responds and reacts to the input from my mind. If I feed it with doubt, worry, and discouragement, that is precisely the kind of day I will experience. But if I adjust my thoughts, filling my mind with vision, hope, and glory, I can count on that kind of day. You and I become what we think about," unquote. And I agree with that. And the same is true about being a servant of Jesus. If we don't think like a servant, then we won't become a servant. The Bible's clear, the battle is won or lost right here in our minds. Meaning in the attitude we have toward being a servant like Jesus. Swindoll also talks about, and we can all identify this, that he has struggled with that tendency to be selfish in his life. He tells a story about a time when he and his son Kurt took a few days off together and rode the rapids of the Rogue River in the state of Oregon. They went with several other men of the church. He said there was about 15 in the group. And while they were receiving instructions from the guide, Swindoll began to look a little more closely at the canoes. And he noticed that some were kind of old and worn out. And there was a couple on the end that looked like they were brand new. So he wanted to get one of the new ones. And so he whispered in the ear of his son. He said, "Kurt, start moving to the left. Start moving to the left." "Why?" his son asked. He said, "Just do what I say, son." He said, "The two canoes on the end are new." He said, "We're going to get those two new ones." Swindoll's son cooperated. They got the newer canoes. Swindoll said he handled it so smoothly nobody even noticed. And then as they were breaking up into groups, he made sure he and his son ended up with what he thought was the older guide, not one of the rookies. And then later, what he had done, he said, hit him hard. He was being selfish, plain and simple. And to make matters worse, he was teaching his son to be selfish too. Now, I don't think I'm going to have to spend a whole lot of time explaining to you why this is such an important subject. We know selfishness is a very destructive characteristic and attitude that too many people have. It not only destroys our relationship with others, it will destroy our relationship with God. Without a selfless spirit, we cannot become like Jesus. We cannot serve like he served. So just how do we develop this selfless attitude in a selfish world? Well, that's what we're going to get into today. A lot of scripture today. The Bible is very clear on how we can become selfless in a selfish world. But as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom and understanding. As we spend these few moments opening up his word, let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your presence with us, and thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth it reveals to us. Thank you for the challenge that it brings to us. And thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who teaches us and encourages us and helps us as we learn what your will is and how to properly apply it in our lives. Today, Lord, we're talking about this idea of being selfless so that we can become the servant you want us to be and serve like your son Jesus serves. Lord, I need your help to present this message in a way that will be pleasing to you. And I pray it will be challenging and encouraging to all who are here and all who are listening, that we might become the servant you would have us to become by having a selfless attitude as we live in this selfish world. Bless your word today, Father. Give us wisdom and understanding, and we're going to give you the praise, knowing you're with us, knowing that you're going to help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First main point to be made today is this: God expects us to develop a selfless attitude. The Bible includes many commands about getting a grip on selfishness. And Jesus made this expectation very clear when he informed us that a basic requirement of being a disciple of Jesus is self-denial. That's what he taught us in Matthew 16. Beginning in verse 24, we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" In that statement of Jesus, we learn we cannot be his disciples without denying ourselves. And the only way we can do that is to give our life up to him. The New Testament writers made it clear that Christians must learn to treat each other unselfishly. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 2, "Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification," or to build him or her up. 1 Corinthians 10, 24, "No one is to seek his own advantage, but rather that of his neighbor." And that powerful passage from Philippians 2, beginning verse 3, Paul said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Pretty plain there, isn't it? James said in James 3, verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." And then he said in verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." From these verses, it's very clear that God expects us to become selfless rather than selfish. So we start on this path of discipleship through self-denial, and we continue on that path through an attitude of selflessness. In our interactions with other people, we should be concerned about their needs, to seek their good. One anonymous source said this: "Me is always at the bottom of all sin." One little two-letter word, ME. It may spell drink or lust or pride or covetousness or self-will, but it is some form of ME, me. We know that selfishness is a sin, and it leads to all kinds of other sins. And that's why God commands us to remove it from our lives. Servants of Jesus must also set our minds on spiritual things. In Romans chapter 8, Paul presents for us a contrast, beginning in verse 5. He said, "For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit. "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." I want you to notice how these two very different outcomes are determined by what our minds are set on. How we control our minds and what we focus our minds on is so very important. Romans 12, beginning verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And then he said in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world." Don't agree with this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what does Paul say is the way people are to break out of the world's mold? By changing our attitudes, by changing our thinking, by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then, not only will we be able to know God's will, we'll be able to practice God's will. Another passage that speaks to the importance of renewing and controlling our minds is one that's become very dear to me because I share this passage with myself every day. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Boy, when I read that, that is so hard to do. And yet it's very important, very challenging, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. With God's help, we can control, we can direct our thinking. One final passage, as far as the importance of our minds go, is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, where Peter says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There are many actions that we need to prepare our minds for, but an important one is to prepare our minds for service, becoming like Jesus. Second main point is God expects us to show selflessness in our actions. Now, just what does selfless living and selfless service look like? We have many wonderful examples in the Word of God.